is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Salman Rushdie, the attack on the notable author by unknown actor who is connected to unknown actors. We don't know. We sit right now and wait. However, there is a statement from the foreign ministry in Tehran to guide us in what we do and don't know about this attack. The quote, regarding the attack on Salman Rushdie, reports Reuters, we, that is the Iran Foreign Ministry and the Islamic Republic of Iran, we do not consider anyone other than himself and his supporters worthy of reproach and condemnation. No one has the right to accuse Iran in this regard. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, the author most recently about the conflict in Gaza that is endless. And this, too, appears to be one of those endless contests dating to the 20th century before the Internet. So it's not easy to recover those events that followed the publication in 1988 of Satanic Verses. However, Jonathan in The Hill has done a very good, quick job of saying very carefully what followed was the intentions of the Supreme Leader, who died on June 3rd of 1989. But from February and through the rest of the year, there was random violence around the world, threats to book publishers, threats to bookstores, certainly threats to Salman Rushdie, death threats. And that was then. This is now. And yet, Jonathan, a very good evening to you. This is overwhelming, given that we recently had the news that there was a plot in place to kill John Bolton, the former National Security Advisor of the United States. So this makes two instances where citizens are being attacked in some fashion related to Iran. Is it coincidence, John? Could it be that it's just timing? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I don't see coincidences in the Middle East. Those are quite rare. Really, what we're looking at is a string of failed plots, the first being against Masih Alinejad, who is an Iranian journalist that has been operating here in the United States. She was the subject of a kidnapping plot that was thwarted. Then we learned recently by the Department of Justice that both John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, two former Trump administration officials, were also targets of Iranian plots. And then just on Friday of last week, we saw this attack against Salman Rushdie. Of course, you had mentioned the fatwa that was issued against him, the edict dating back to Valentine's Day of 1989. One gets a sense right now that Iran is trying to settle a lot of old scores, and that this is all happening amidst the backdrop of nuclear negotiations in Vienna. This certainly gives one the impression that the United States should not be engaging in any concessions, should not be offering any concessions to the Islamic Republic whatsoever. But then it also could be that Iran sees the opportunity to settle these scores now, perhaps before an agreement is finally struck.
When I first came across the reporting about Iran's bad acting, I believe there was an attack in Berlin in the early 90s. And I was understanding, because I did a story with the author who wrote it up, I was understanding that there was a method to this, that Iran was expressing its power through these acts of random violence, or encouraging people to think of it as sinister, as something that is going to get you no matter where you are, in exile in Germany, or giving a speech in New York State. Jonathan, does this connect with a plan in Tehran? Is this organized brutality, or are these acts different from era to era, epoch to epoch? Because we're in no way talking about the same people in leadership roles today.
No, I think we see more continuity than change. I mean, when we look back on the attacks in the immediate aftermath of the fatwa back in 1989, we saw acts of violence in places like India and Germany and Thailand and Pakistan and Turkey and Australia and France. I mean, the list went on. There was attacks here in the United States. And when you look back in recent years, and not even that recent, I mean, throughout the 1990s into the 2000s, we see attacks the roots of which we can find back in Iran. And these are attacks that were taking place in countries like Bulgaria and Argentina. And now we've got these plots here in the United States. So I see a rogue state that is able to put its agents into action. The goal is not only to perpetrate terror against the West, and this is an entire system that the Islamic Republic really holds a lot of disdain for the West. I think it's very clear, and that needs to be underscored here. But then there's also an attempt to try to attack assets that are Israeli or adjacent to Israel, as we saw in places like Bulgaria and Argentina. And then there's also, finally, the attempt to silence the critics of the regime. And that's what we saw with Salman Rushdie over the weekend.
The Vienna negotiations, the backdrop here, there are all kinds of rumors. We've talked about them, Jonathan. These attempts to kill John Bolton and Mike Pompeo, these attempts to kill Salman Rushdie, are they going to in any way influence the decision-making by the Biden administration about the JCPOA?
They should. Although I have to say that based on the statement from Sunday evening issued by the State Department, I do not see a backbone from this administration. They called the attack despicable, and they made a sort of a glancing reference to Iranian institutions without condemning the regime itself for the fatwa that inspired this attack. And one gets a sense that they are being very careful right now so as to not disrupt whatever progress, as they would call it, is being made in Vienna. I'm deeply troubled by the lack of principle exhibited by the Biden administration. They appear very desperate to ink an agreement on Iran's nuclear program, regardless of the cost and regardless of the provocations that we see here in the United States.
Is there thinking in Washington anywhere that the JCPOA in place, reawakened, agreed to by our partners in Europe, that will stop this random brutality that dates back now to the beginning of the revolution?
I think there has always been an idea in the heads of those trying to broker this agreement that if Iran is given enough cash, that if they are given access to the U.S.-led system, if they're treated as a respectable government on the world stage, that this kind of activity will stop. I think that is fanciful thinking. I believe that in my heart of hearts, I believe that the Iranians will pocket the money and they will continue on much as they have. Their system of governance is based on what they see as a revolution, and they are not going to temper that ideology regardless of what perks the United States or the Europeans throw at them.
And right now, is there one organization in the world, the United States is the question here, one organization opposing Iran's random acts of terror? Are security agencies using the skill set used against al-Qaeda and even the Taliban until recently? Are they using it against the IRGC's al-Quds force?
Look, we saw during the Trump administration, the CIA and our military was actively engaged in trying to halt Iranian activity. We saw the assassination in early 2020 of Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force, the head of the murderous instrument of the Revolutionary Guard Corps. And I think that was a very positive thing. By the way, one could argue, I think the Iranians would, that what we're seeing right now, this spate of plots and attacks, is an attempt at retribution for Soleimani's right. killing. But right now, when we look at who is trying to counter it, it is pretty much only the Israelis.
Jonathan Shanzer, Vice President of Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, recounting very quickly in The Hill, I recommend it, the violence that followed the publication of a book, a novel, in the late 20th century, written by Salman Rushdie, who the good news is he will be with us. I'm John Batchelor.